you very much. Well, the Holy Spirit has instructed me. He actually instructed me while I was with the teens down at camp. I went with them down south, almost to Houston, and spent a few days down there. And while I was there, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me as I was walking around the campground. And He instructed me to teach something to you over the next several weeks. It's relevant to everyone in this room. And I'm calling this teaching On the Edge. You know, God's people are an unusual lot. While we have the great prize of the Holy Spirit within us, and through that Holy Spirit, we have received the fruit of the Spirit that is released through partnership and submission to the Holy Spirit. So therefore, what I'm saying to you is, with the Holy Spirit inside of us and living in us, we have everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything that we need for life. Everything to satisfy us, satisfy every longing, everything to meet every need, everything that would comfort us and love us in times where we need it and in times when we're doing well. And so it's such a beautiful thing. But when you're a believer, in spite of that beautiful presence of God, we're also always living on the edge of something awesome. God never runs out of revelation. God never runs out of love. God never runs out of discovery. God never runs out of new things for us. And He never runs out of victory for our lives. There's always more coming. Everyone say, there's more coming. Now, this congregation and these people in here are living on the edge. We have some great things going on right now, but I'm going to tell you, great things are coming. And there are many of you that are about to take a next step in God's will for your lives. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to take a look at the life of one man in the Bible who serves as a great example to believers who want to live by faith in a great, awesome, and adventurous God. And we're going to study his life to understand how to successfully live on the edge. And I want to read a scripture to you that I've read to you before out of Isaiah before we go to Genesis. It's going to be up on the screen. This is kind of a backdrop and will be a backdrop scripture for this entire walk through this on the edge teaching. And God says in Isaiah chapter 51 verses 1 and 2, He says, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness." How many righteousness followers do I have in here? Christ followers. You, how many of you are seeking the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Then there's a direction. It says, "Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone, but then I blessed him and increased him." Boy, we're about to release some increase on some people's lives in here over the next few weeks. And as I said, I've read this scripture to you before, and it serves as a guide for this entire teaching. We are instructed to look at the life of Abraham as an example of how to live a life of faith. I want you to think about something. Through this man, through this one man, through obedience of one man, of one person, hearing from God, doing what God told him to do, in spite of all of the fears and doubts and potential setbacks, through the obedience of this one man, we know the story of Israel. It was through this man's obedience that the nation of Israel began to be born. The destiny of Israel was released through this man. And he will be the man whose life we study as we learn to live successfully on the edge. Now, today's teaching centers around one thing that I want to take you to take home with you, and that's this. Don't settle for less than what God has for you. In the next few days and weeks, there's going to be an opportunity to settle for less. There's going to be deals proffered, deals made. There's going to be pressures that are going to come that are going to try to convince you, many of you in this room, to settle for less than what God has for you. And today's teaching is to bring you to the place where you say no to those offers, no to that fear, no to those obstacles, and you go into everything that God has for you. Now, many of you guys know Abraham's story, but you don't know the story of his father. And it's relevant to our study, so that's where I want to begin today. So if you're in Genesis, go to Genesis chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 26 through 32. Genesis 11, 26 through 32. And I hear the rustling of the pages. Someone, Pastor, said it keeps you out of the dark ages. All right, if you're there, say I'm there. All right. So let's read. Now Terah lived 70 years, and he begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And this is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, who was the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren, and she had no child. And Terah, now look at this. Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went on a journey. And they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of what? Of Canaan. They set out on a journey to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and they dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years and Terah died in Haran. So in this passage we see the beginning of Abraham's story. Now as you may know, Abraham's given name was Abram. He was one of three brothers. His two brothers' names were Nahor and Haran. And Haran had a son who many of you are familiar with, who we'll cross paths with later on. Haran's son was named Lot. And a tragedy occurred in the family while they were still living in their native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Haran, Abram's brother, passed away. He died while they were still in their native land. And it's always a tragedy when something like this happens in a family. And one of the things that I feel like the Holy Spirit ministered to me was this, that when tragedies occur, several things begin to happen in a family. Number one is realignment. Everyone say realignment. When a tragedy occurs, realignment begins to happen. And that means that a hole is opened in relationships and roles in a tragedy. When a tragedy like a death occurs in a family, a hole is opened in relationships and roles, and those left behind must realign and reconnect. That's the challenge. Another thing that happens when a tragedy occurs is reassessment. There's a reassessment that goes on. Do the goals of the family still make sense, or do they need to be changed in light of what has happened? And the third thing that happens when a tragedy like what happened in Abram's family occurs is reestablishment. And this is very important. The people involved must reestablish God as center of their lives so that tragedy or challenge doesn't end up altering their destiny. Now, Abram's family, whether they were aware of it or not, had to go through this process. It's not an easy process. Anybody that's ever been through a tragic situation in your family, you understand that this is not easy. It requires a lot of focus and a lot of passion for God's will. And the product of this process caused the events that we read about in verses 31 and 32, where it says, Terah took his son Abram, and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife. They just want you to be sure you know who everybody is and how they're related. I know that gets redundant sometimes. And they went out from where they were. They left their home. They left all that was familiar. They left the place where tragedy had occurred. And you know, that's so common with all of us, isn't it? Sometimes when a big tragedy occurs in life or something bad happens, we just feel like we need a change of scenery. That we've just got to get from that place into a new place, believing that that new place that we're going to is going to cause everything that happened to us to begin to ease in some form or fashion, that it will ease the pain, that the memories will get easier, that the new environment and the new surroundings might bring a fresh life and a fresh insight into things. So Terah gathered together all of his family, and his goal was to go to the land of Canaan. Now, that's very interesting to me, and I'll tell you why. We don't know why or how Terah decided on this course. The Bible doesn't tell us why Terah decided to leave where he was and to go to the land of Canaan. But it's the very same destination that Abram would eventually follow or reach in his direction from God. The very same one. Now, is this coincidence or providence? I don't know. But it's an interesting thought. Now, on the way to their family destiny, many challenges occurred to this group. You can just imagine. Think about it for a minute. They were struggling with the death of Haran still as they moved on. They were facing a gigantic journey that would take months. You know, these people are traveling by foot and by donkey in these days. They're not on an airplane. They're not on a train. They're not driving in a car. The journey that they took was several months, crying babies. Oh my God, we were on the airplane. Let me tell you. The flight from Dallas to, we went nonstop from DFW to Dubai, United Arab Emirates. Okay, that is 16 hours nonstop on the plane. Now, some poor people who didn't think things through real well brought their babies and their children on that flight. Non-stop, 16 hours, captive, okay? On a plane with children, 16 hours, okay? Rhonda's foot was hurt, so she decided we needed bulkhead seats, and I'm all for that. That's great. Problem is the bulkhead is where all the families sit with the little babies, except for one time that I noticed that Eric Malmsten was sitting next to a family that had a little baby, and that baby was working that family over. Eric, you in here anywhere? I mean, that baby was working that family over and working Eric over. So, these families decide not to drug these children. And they just try to make the flight just by sheer force of will. And the children are screaming, and they're climbing, and they're scratching, and they're clawing, and they're pooing, and they're eating, and they're doing all this kind of stuff. And the parents are wrestling them, and the parents are getting up and apologizing to everybody in the room. Man, we were on one flight, and the lady was covered head to toe in a burqa. All I could see was her eyes, and that baby was killing her. That baby was working that woman over. And she got up and came over to Rhonda and I, and she said, "I am so sorry." She said, "I don't know what possessed me to ever get on a plane with this child for this long." She said, "But I'll never do it again." Well, you know, those things like that, similar. Abram, when they're taking this trip, they're facing similar things. I mean, this is, you know, it's so easy for us to read. They set out and they arrived. But the thing about it is that process took months and months and months. And can you just imagine? The obstacles were numerous. Where would they get water? How would they be received by the people in the new land where they were going? What if somebody stole everything along the way and robbed them, hurt them, killed them? What if another family member died along this perilous journey? What if it cost somebody their lives? What if, what if, what if? Everybody say, what if? Two words that stop us so often from doing God's will. What if something bad happens? What if I decide to step forward in God and the enemy targets my children? What if I decide to quit my job and move forward into what God has for me, and we just go bankrupt and we're destitute, driving around town in a VW Bug with a mattress tied to the top? I have to breathe a minute. You say, what if? What if this doesn't work? What if I'm not qualified? What if God sends us there and then backs off on us and just drops us? What if? And those what ifs stop us because we can't get past them. You know, we got, instead of looking beyond the what if to the face of God and taking our peace in the fact that the Creator of the universe can move any obstacle, provide any need, overcome any enemy, take us through, over, or around any obstacle. We get to the place where we talk ourselves out of taking this journey. Well, the good news about Terah, the grandfather or the father in this story, is that he didn't let the what ifs stop him. They moved out for a destination, but brothers and sisters, they never made it to their destination. The Bible tells us that they had a destination called the land of Canaan. But instead of getting to Canaan, they got approximately as halfway to their destination, and the Bible says they settled somewhere. They settled. Now, I don't know why. The Bible doesn't tell us why this group didn't make it to Canaan. Maybe the journey was too hard. I can imagine if I'd have been that mother in that burqa, I had to wear the burqa, number one. Number two, the baby's wearing me out. I'd have probably just gone over and asked the stewardess to step aside, open the door, and jump out of the plane. Okay? Please, stewardess, close this behind me, would you? Maybe the journey was too hard. Maybe the weight of the past was too great. I wonder that, because the town that they settled in, Terah named it after his dead son. He named the place Haran. And maybe the memories of the past or the pain of what had happened was so great that they built an identity around that loss. I have so much compassion for some of the losses I see on the news and other places. You live in this world. Anybody ever been just so extremely moved by a loss that you see somebody going through? It's just unimaginable sometimes some of the things that people have to face and have to go through. It's heartbreaking. And my heart just goes out to people. And those processes occur in people's lives when they go through those things. There's a reassessment, there's a realignment, and then there has to be a reestablishment for the people that are left behind. And it's very difficult because a lot of people, if you're not careful, you can make an identity out of your loss. Your tragedy can become your identity going forward. It determines everything you believe. It determines where you're going to live. It determines the things you're going to say. It determines how you're going to spend your resources. It can determine so many things about your life. And I'm not downplaying tragedy because they're difficult. Very, very difficult. But at some point in this process, we have to get to the place where we go through that reestablishment process and we reestablish Christ as the center and director of our family. It's not a mistake that you're here. Okay? If you are here, you went through a tragedy and you were the one left, that's not a mistake. Okay? I can't imagine what some of you have been through and the losses that you've experienced. We see those losses all throughout the Bible. Can you imagine, although he didn't stay lost, can you imagine what Jesus' mother felt as she watched the crucifixion of her son on the cross of Calvary? The Bible says it was so difficult that it was prophesied when Jesus was a baby that a sword would pierce through her own soul. Be like a sword run through her heart, her emotions and everything, just to watch her son go through that process. And many of you have been through that. But it's not a mistake that you're still here. The Lord has something for you to do. And everything that has been lost in your life, it's not like you lost, and I've said this before, but it's not like you lost your car keys and you just can't find them anymore. And you can't find your way anymore because your car keys are lost. This is a different loss than that. Because when you lose something in a situation like this, God has the loss. If you're His child, He has the loss. And He, in His infinite wisdom and amazing ability, has a way to use those things and redeem those things in this plane to bring about ministry out of that. And that doesn't even include the actual person or whatever that you may lose. I mean, God has ultimate control over their destiny as well. Okay? So it's not like something was just ripped out of life that will and the story is over. It's over. The story's not over. It took a turn that was painful, but the story's not over. And God has you here. And He wants you to draw close to Him, closer than you've ever been before. And He wants you to throw your all onto Him. Somebody says, well, Pastor, I don't trust Him anymore because of what I've been through. I don't want to throw my all on God because, after all, didn't he play a part in what happened? At least, didn't He allow it? Listen, brothers and sisters, one of the things that was not guaranteed when we were born again is that none of us would ever die. Just not guaranteed. The Bible says that the last enemy that will be destroyed after Jesus returns is death, physical death. Okay? If we all live long enough, we're going to die. See, that's morbid. At 58 years old, I've already started thinking about my passing. And I'm only 58. I've thought about it. And man, I know that one of these days, if Jesus tarries, I'm going to be somewhere and my life is going to extinguish. We were driving through Africa, man. We were driving down a road. There was a big monument right on the side of the road. Reverend Francis so-and-so died right here. That's what it said on the monument. He died right here. And I thought one day there will be a place, everybody will be able to come. They'll say, Reverend Parkey Coburn died right here. You know what I mean? He passed right here. But we of all people have an understanding that should comfort us that this life is not the only realm of existence that there is. Now that doesn't cause us not to miss people. Doesn't cause us to avoid the pain of realignment and all of the things that we have to do and the grieving. But we don't grieve as those who have zero hope. We can stand beside our caskets with a different reality than someone who doesn't know the Lord. And what I'm trying to say is this. You can trust the Lord. You can trust the Lord. Because He not only has power over what happens now, He has power over what happens later. Okay? So you can trust Him. You can put your life in His hands. He never said you wouldn't go through something difficult. That was never a promise that He made to you when you said, Lord, I will follow You. He said, in this world you will have trouble. But He said, but cheer up. Don't be despondent, because I have overcome the world and its ways. The Bible tells us that Terah didn't make it to Canaan, and he settled there in Haran. And I just felt like the Lord was telling me this morning to be sure and let you know. The Lord understands that some of you are having a hard time going forward because of fears, of losses, of unknowns. Some of you are having a hard time going forward because of something good that's happened. Some of you got it real good right where you are, and God's saying, I want to take you somewhere brand new. And you're like, kind of like it the way it is. You know what I mean? And He's saying, well, we're going somewhere. And some of you, it's something good and not something, the fear of the unknown or a tragedy or whatever that's keeping you from wanting to go forward. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to pray with people. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I don't want to allow any bad thing, any fears, any bad thing that's happened to me, any good things that I'm involved in my life right now, I don't want to let any of those things stop me from going forward into the plan that God has for me. If this word is resonating with you, I just want you to stand. Okay? Stand right where you are, because we're going to pray. Now, I want, if you're here and you've had a tragedy occur that's just making it difficult for you to go forward in your life, I want to especially pray for you. If you've had some form of tragedy that seems like it wants to draw a circle around that period in your life and say, you're not going any further than this right here. This is the tombstone of your life. Well, God wants to make that tombstone, turn that into a stepping stone into the next part of your life. So if you've had a tragedy that just seems to want to stop you from going forward, I want you to come down to the front. Just come on down and stand down here, because I want to pray with you that the Lord will strengthen you and empower you and help you to be able to see that He's going to walk with you through all of that. He's going to redeem it. Now, praise God, next week we're going to find out that the next time that God spoke into this very same family, somebody said yes. Somebody said, I'll go. I'll go wherever you tell me to go. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Everybody that's standing out there, stretch your hands out toward these folks. I want a few leaders to come down and stand with them, because this is an emotional moment for them. It's a difficult moment for them. So home group leaders, elders. Let's love on them a little bit, because we just don't know what some of them are dealing with right now. Come on down. Home group leaders, if you're out there, come on down. Stand behind these folks. Minister to them. Father, Father, Lorraine, Father, there's nothing I can say that you don't already know about what these folks have been through, what they're going through. But Lord, Lord, life did not end for them. It may seem like it did, may feel like it did, but it did not end for them at the advent of this tragedy. And God, you and your love and your power and your anointing are drawing close to them right now. You're drawing close to them right now. And Lord, I pray that as you draw close to them, they'll open their hearts and that they'll feel you pour the balm of Gilead that heals every wound upon their hearts and souls and upon their emotions. And Lord God, I pray they'll be able to look at their losses and lay them at the feet of Jesus and be able to say, the one who can bring things back to life, I lay my loss before you. And I leave it with you. And I choose, even though it's been painful, I choose not to let this thing define who I am. Because, Lord, I have laid down my loss at the feet of someone who can do something about it, who loves me, who, Lord, I can trust. And you will care for that and you will take care of it. And I can move on and receive your healing and ministry through this thing. And Father, you can even give me words to be able to use to others, Lord, that are going through the very same thing and that have gone through, and that I will be able to be used as a vessel to pour out your grace upon them when they're in intense pain and don't think life has any future. Father, I speak a new beginning over these folks. I pray a new beginning, and not where we forget the good things of the past, but God, where we cherish them and where we understand that our God has them in His hands and will care for those things so that we can go forward and stop carrying it around every day, day by day, day by day, day by day. Give it to Jesus. 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 So, Father, I just pray now that as they lift their eyes off of their loss and look into your face, just as you said to Jairus, when they came to Jairus, they said, don't trouble Jesus anymore. Your daughter's dead. Jesus said, Jairus, look at me. He said, don't be afraid, only believe. So we look in the face of Jesus today. We'll follow you, Lord. We'll follow you, Lord. Now, everybody out there that says, I'm not going to let good things or bad things stop me, just raise your hand toward the Lord. Father, we're going to follow you. We're going to follow you wherever you say go. We're going to do whatever you say do. Lord God, I'm not going to be afraid of change. God, I'm not going to be afraid of the future. Lord, I'm not going to use the past as my gauge to determine what's going to happen tomorrow. I believe that you are the God of new things, new experiences. And Father, I will trust you and believe you and move forward and go wherever you say go and do whatever you say do. And I will give you the praise. And I will give you the praise. And I will give you the praise. In Jesus' precious name. Everybody said amen. Now, everybody say, I'm not going to settle for less. I'm going to look in the face of Jesus, and I'm going to hear Him say to me, do not be afraid, only believe. And I will just turn and follow you. And I will go where He says go. And And along the way, we will have sweet communion. And He will heal me of all loss and assure me of His care and love for me. And He's going to take me exactly where He wants me to go. And I give You praise for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.